Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we give you thanks for this day when we can gather in your house and open your word and read from it words that give us life. Help us to engage this word and to draw meaning from it and to live our lives in accordance with it so that you might be pleased with us and that we might live with you now and forevermore. Give us grace in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to find him. I just have to talk with him. I have to ask him a question. You wonder what my name is? Well, my name has been lost to the sands of time. It's not recorded. So I don't know what my name is. But I do know this. I am a ruler. I am a person in high position in society. People respect me, they look up to me, and I respect them in return. And what's more, I obey all of God's laws. I've been a good law-abiding person my whole life long, since I was a boy. Oh yes, and I am very wealthy too. I have to find this man to ask him a very important question. I have to find him too. Not to ask him a question though, just to see him. Who am I? What is my name? Well, you might recognize my name. I am Zacchaeus. You might have to imagine me being a little shorter than I appear right now, because apparently I was a pretty short guy. But you know something about me, I think. I am a tax collector, so I am very wealthy also. But not by positive means. I am not very well respected in society. People don't look up to me and I don't look up to them. We have kind of a tense relationship. But I need to see this Jesus character in order to get to know him, in order to understand him better. The question that I want to ask him has to do with how I know I'm going to go to heaven when I die. The question that I want to ask him is, how do I know that I have eternal life? What do I need to do in order to secure this thing so that after I die something good will happen to me? That's the question that I've got to ask him. So I asked him, and he gave me this most mysterious response, something that I really can't get on board with. He said, to sell everything that I have. I have a lot of stuff. I'm a very wealthy man. Did I mention that? I have a lot of things. And he said to sell all of it and give it to the poor and then come and follow him. That price is just too high for me. I just want to see this preacher. I just want to see him. I don't need to ask him anything. I don't need to do anything. I just have to be in relationship with him. I've already started to make things right in my world. I've already given away half of my possessions. I've already started repaying those that I've cheated through my tax business 4 times over what I've taken from them. And yet I feel like there's something more to it. I feel like I need a deeper connection with this one who has come from Nazareth and is preaching about the kingdom of God. What he asks of me is really astounding. Not that I should give everything away, but that I should invite him into my home. I must stay at your house today, he said. I must have dinner with you. It was a tremendous command of sorts. So I wondered who really was searching for whom. I've wanted to see Jesus all this time, and yet I got the feeling from him that he was really the one searching for me all along. What these two men did not realize, the wealthy ruler and the wealthy tax collector. What they didn't realize was that Jesus was searching for them both much more than they were searching for him. There are similarities and differences between their stories. They both fall very close to each other in the same gospel. They're both found in Luke's gospel, the one in chapter 18 and the next in chapter 19. They're very close to each other, literarily speaking. And they're very close to each other, geographically speaking as well. Jesus is close to Jerusalem at this point in Luke's story, Luke's telling of Jesus' story. Jesus is approaching Jerusalem where he will be betrayed and crucified and will rise again. He's not quite there yet, but right before he gets there, these two stories take place. Each of these stories has something to do with giving to the poor, helping those who are less fortunate, and being connected to life in the kingdom of God. Both of these stories have Jesus calling these individuals to lives of discipleship and lives of service. But the two stories have very different endings. Hear these words as I read from Luke 18, verses 18 to 30, and then 19, verses 1 through 10. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," the man said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life." Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are all rich, every single one of us. Here in this room today, all of us are wealthy, by the world's standards at least, if by none other. All of us have a warm place to stay. All of us have a vehicle, I assume, most of us. I don't know, anybody walk here today? Well, you have a vehicle, even if you did walk. All of us are wealthy by the world's standards. You may even have some spare change in your pocket, expendable money that you might spend at a store later today or whatever you might do with it. All of us, whether or not we are struggling financially, are blessed really beyond what we realize. There are many opportunities in our context, in our community, right here, for us to be good stewards of those resources, to help those who are in need, even in our community. Because even those who are poorest among us in our culture, in our community, are still wealthy by the world standards, but there are some real honest-to-goodness needs in this community, too. There are people who are hungry, not like there is hunger in other parts of the world, perhaps, but there is hunger here. There is drug addiction here. There is domestic violence and broken homes. There are lots of things here. And we, as stewards of God's creation, are called to be good stewards of ourselves, of our money, of our resources, of our time, of our energy, so that we might serve others in the name of Christ. And if we look hard enough, there are many places for us to do that. Many organizations in the community that do tremendous work to help people through difficult times in their lives. We as a church do this on our own also. We as a church gather our resources together to help others who are in need because we need to do that. Not just because others need the help, surely that's part of the equation too, but we as disciples of Christ, we as servants of Christ, need to follow Christ. We need to love God and love our neighbors tangibly with our resources and with our time and with our energy. We need to show Christ's love to those around us. And we need to see Christ in those whom we serve. One of the greatest things that our mission trip team to Guatemala will see is Christ in the people whom they go to help. We've often commented that the trip is really more beneficial for us than it is for even the family that we get to build a home for, because they're such a blessing to us. We need to become more like Jesus. We need Jesus to redeem us, to set us free, to live in relationship with us, and to use us to expand his kingdom on earth. So what we do with our material resources matters a great deal. How we handle our finances, how we handle our time and energy, makes a big difference. At one point in his teaching ministry, Jesus said, "You cannot serve both God and money. You'll end up serving one and despising the other." Summarizing there. When we help others, we are making a conscious effort to serve God and not money. When we give for the sake of other people, we're making a deliberate decision to serve God and not our own stomachs. The kingdom of God expands within us and around us when we give and when we serve. When we respond positively to the call of Jesus to sacrifice for his sake, we experience eternal life. We experience the Holy Spirit growing within us and around us. As a church, we have many opportunities to engage in this kind of service. Over the past few weeks, I've highlighted several of those for you, and I'll summarize them. Even within the next 4 weeks, there are, as far as I can tell, 4 opportunities for us to be engaged tangibly serving the Lord and his kingdom through the use of our resources and time and efforts. Just in the next month, it's a busy month for us. Today, of course, is our All-Church Tithe Sunday. As the offering plates passed by, you can remember this in your mind, it happened just a few moments ago, we were giving to the Lord 10% of our income as a sign of faith in him, as a testimony of his goodness in our lives, and as an opportunity for us to explore what our giving potential as a congregation might be. A very tangible way for us to put our finances in the hands of the Lord. Our Guatemala mission trip team, as they prepare this week to go, they're not just going by themselves, they're going on behalf of all of us, on behalf of those of us who have gone before, those of us who dream yet of going someday, and those of us who might never go. They go on our behalf, and they take us, in a sense, with them. We have contributed as a congregation toward the cost of a house that will be built there in the community in Guatemala City. We've contributed to the cost of luggage, which will carry goods and resources that we've collected so that people might have toothbrushes and soap and crayons and other useful things at their disposal in that city. We have given of ourselves, and so this really is our trip. 1 week from today, next Sunday, in this space, at this time, we will have some men from the Teen Challenge Ministry. It's based in Saginaw. This is a recovery program. It's designed to bring people out of addiction to drugs and alcohol and other kinds of abuse that they've experienced. Anybody who's in distress in their lives can go here. It's kind of a residential program where they live in community with each other and learn what it means to follow Christ and to break habits that keep them oppressed. There's tremendous potential for ministry there. They will come and share their stories, their testimonies, their songs, their scripture verses with us. And I'm sure we will be more blessed than they will be simply by seeing what God is doing in their lives. But we will have the opportunity to share tangibly with them material resources. We'll give a love offering for the Teen Challenge Ministry after their presentation at the end of the service. Please come prepared for that. We'll also have a potluck lunch with them afterwards, with them. So bring an extra dish. Keep in mind we're sending several people to Guatemala, so bring another dish to feed ourselves and those who come. This is a ministry for us to perform and to share a time with them, to get to know them better, and to hear more of their stories. It's a good opportunity for us to grow in God's kingdom. And then fourth, 2 weeks from today, begins our time of service at the Housing for the Homeless Coalition, the homeless shelter that's on River Road. Thank you, Kevin, for correcting me. I just know it's somewhere out there. Head northwest-ish and you'll find it. The Community of Christ Campgrounds is where it's located out on River Road. We'll have 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, staffed by our church and by Meridian Church of God, 2, 3, 4 people there at any time. We'll bring dinner with us. We'll cook what they have there for breakfast. I think it's cold cereal. We won't cook the cold cereal. They provide that. We'll cook whatever leftovers there are for lunch. We'll provide the dinner. And we'll sit with people who have no home right now, who have lost their housing for whatever reason, between places to live. How close it is for any of us, really, to be in that kind of a situation. There are many opportunities for us to use our financial, tangible, material, and emotional, spiritual resources for the sake of the kingdom of God. For me, the wealthy ruler, Jesus wants me to sell all that I have and give to the poor. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Surely an impossible thing. Easier for that to happen than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And I tell you what, if that's what it costs, I don't doubt it. Because that price is too high for me to pay. To sell all that I have and give to the poor. For me, Zacchaeus, the wealthy tax collector, giving to the poor is the beginning of the journey. Repaying those whom I've cheated is part of it. To follow Jesus means that I have to divest myself of this ill-gotten wealth, that I need to care for those around me rather than abusing and manipulating those around me. It's a new way of living, and it will cost a lot. But to be part of this kingdom of God business that Jesus keeps talking about, I imagine no cost is too high to really be part of God's kingdom, I'll do whatever it takes. What amazes me about the story of Zacchaeus is that Jesus sought him out, not the other way around. The story began with Zacchaeus searching after Jesus, but Jesus is really the one who found him, a dirty, rotten scoundrel of an IRS tax man. You know the type. Between these two stories, sorry, no offense, Dallas. It's all right. Accountants are wonderful people. My mother works for an accountant. It's all good. Okay. Dear diary. I don't know if I want... Anyway. Okay. Between these two stories, which are very close to each other, are two very short passages that you should read sometime. Let me summarize them for you. Two things happen between the encounter of Jesus with the rich ruler and the encounter of Jesus with rich Zacchaeus. First, Jesus predicts his death. He says to his disciples, "We're going to Jerusalem, and you know, all of this kingdom of God talk, all of this healing the sick, all of this preaching and teaching and miracles, and all that I've done is going to culminate in me being put to death. And on the third day, I will rise again." And they didn't understand him. The death and resurrection of Jesus defines the power of the kingdom of God, that kingdom that the ruler and Zacchaeus were called to be a part of. It culminates in the cross and the empty tomb. The second story is a miracle story where Jesus enters on his way into Jericho. He's not in Jericho yet, but on his way into Jericho, he sees a blind man begging beside the road, asking for money, for sustenance, how different his story must have been than the ruler or Zacchaeus. Here is a man on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, having nothing, begging for a living, and Jesus sees him and heals him, asks him what he wants, and the man says, "I just want to see." And so he does. This man sees Jesus. He receives mercy. The rich ruler and Zacchaeus on either side of this story are searching for Jesus. But Jesus finds this outcast and gives him new life. Beyond all the charity that could be thrown at his feet, beyond all the money that could have been given to him, the true gift of new life in the kingdom is given by Jesus to anyone, to all who search for him. All who desire to receive it. I think the stories in these Gospels are arranged and collected very specifically to paint very clear pictures for us about what the kingdom of God is about. So, what if, as Isaiah 58 says, which we read in service last week, what if we spend ourselves on behalf of the poor? What if we give 10% of our income regularly to the Lord and use some of that to aid those in our community who are in need? What if we travel to Guatemala and discover the richness of God's Spirit in a poor and broken land? What if we present a love offering to the Teen Challenge Ministry next week to support their ministry and to celebrate the transformation that God is doing in the lives of men and women through that program? What if we work at the homeless shelter at the Community of Christ campgrounds in a couple of weeks to bring a meal, to sit down with those who are homeless, to share our love, Christ's love, with our neighbors? What if we did those things? How we handle our physical, material resources with respect to the needy around us says quite a bit about our spiritual health and well-being. And it says something about the reality of our current relationship with Christ and our ongoing relationship with Christ. in the kingdom of God. What if we spend ourselves on behalf of the poor? Would we be surprised to discover that perhaps it has been Jesus who has been searching for us all along? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for these two men who encountered you, one with apparently successful results and one without. Help us, Lord, in our richness to put our blessings to use for the sake of your kingdom, for we know that all that we have belongs to you. Make us good stewards of what you have entrusted to us, and help us to serve and to be served with humility and with reverence and with respect for all. Watch over our Guatemala team as they travel this week. Watch over the men and women of Teen Challenge, even as they continue their struggles of faith. And watch over those who are homeless in our community, that we might be the hands and feet of Christ to serve as you would have us to serve. We ask all of these things in the name of Christ, our Lord and risen Savior.